Please feel free to find a seat. Hey, Regen, it's great to be with you tonight. My name is Dave. I have a new life in Christ, and I am recovering from PTSD, pornography, and seeking to find comfort in alcohol. I was meeting with a friend several years ago that I knew pretty well, and he looked across the table at me and he said, "Dave, who are you?" It sounded like an existential question, so I thought before I answered, and all I could think of is, "Hey, I'm Dave, I'm your friend." He said, no, I mean, "What number are you?" And I thought for a minute, and I didn't know quite how to answer that. I don't know if you wanted my age. All I could think of was one of my favorite numbers. So I said, when I played football in high school, I wore number 84. He's like, no, your personality type on the Enneagram. Like, what number are you? I had not heard of that. Maybe you've never heard of that. Had no idea what he was talking about. I said, "Well, give me my options." He said, "Well, there's only 9 options, and you're one of them." And I thought to myself, that's pretty simplistic. That's pretty reductionist to think that the complexity of human beings could be reduced to 1 of 9 options. But here's the reality when you and I look at the Bible. The Bible teaches us there's really only 2 identities of all people everywhere in the world. Either we have a faith relationship with God through Jesus, and if that's the case, we are considered to be united with Christ. We are one with him. Or the Bible uses this phrase everywhere that says we are in Christ. Or the other option is you're not in Christ. You're separated from God. You're outside of Jesus. And if you and I are followers of Jesus and we are in Christ, we have an identity with him, we are unified with him, then there's some incredible truths about what our identity is made up of. I want you to think of it this way. The way the Bible looks at it, it's not so much what you do who determines who you are. Instead, the Bible teaches us it's our identity that ultimately determines our activity. And our identity has everything to do with how we understand recovery. Here's what we're going to do over the next 7 weeks on Monday night. We're going to look at one very long sentence. As a matter of fact, so long that it covers 12 verses in the book of Ephesians. We're going to talk about our identity. And as we look at our identity, we're going to look at 7 different perspectives. And tonight, we're going to begin with the good news that if you're a follower of Jesus, you're blessed. You are blessed tonight because of Jesus. It's one of our favorite things to say, right? I saw a woman walk out of Target the other day. Her shirt just said, "I'm blessed." And I said, "Indeed you are, you're blessed." And she said, "You're probably blessed too. I want a little bit more than that." Maybe your favorite football player scored a touchdown yesterday and put hashtag blessed on his Twitter feed. We are blessed, but what does it mean to be blessed? And what does being blessed have to do with our recovery? Glad you asked. Look with me, if you will, in Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to jump into verse 3, and we're going to talk about what it means to be blessed. If you have a Bible, feel free to go there. If you don't, we'll project it on the screen behind me. If you need a Bible, let us know. We would love to give you one. Ephesians 1, verse 3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ," get this, "who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places." You see a word that occurs 3 different times there. When we see the same words repeated over in Scripture, we should pay attention to them. And the idea is blessed. And we start with saying, blessed is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible teaches that the only true God is a triune God. One God, 3 persons, co-eternal, co-existent, co-worthy of worship, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. It says, "Blessed be God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every blessing in the spiritual realm." Now, let's talk about what blessed means. When you and I bless God, it means most literally we speak well of him. We speak good about the essence of God. Think of it this way. We worship. We just did that. We worship through song. When we worship, we are blessing God. We are saying, "God, you are worthy of praise. You ultimately are worthy of everything we can say, do, and think, and so we speak well of you." But God doesn't worship us. He doesn't bless us in the same way that we bless him. When the Bible says we are blessed, it means God does good. God does good to us and through us. In other words, when you and I bless God, it's because we worship him because he's worthy. He deserves it. You and I don't deserve anything good from God. We're broken people. That's why we're here tonight. In many ways, we've lived our life independently, if not right out rebelliously against him, and yet he's good to us. Now, I want you to see where blessing happens, because there's a person in which blessing happens, and there's a place. Look at the first thing we see here. Let me read it for you one more time. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us where or in whom? In Christ. Here's the first thing I want you to think about tonight. Our identity, the identity we're going to talk about for the next 7 weeks, our identity is earned by Jesus Christ. You and I are blessed in Christ, and all the good that God does for us is ultimately because of the performance of Jesus. Jesus, eternally God, God the Son, became a man. He lived the only perfect life that's ever been lived, perfectly obeyed the Father. No one has ever done that before. Jesus then went to the cross in our place, died to pay the penalty and break the power of sin over us, and then he rose victoriously bodily from the grave. One day he'll return forever. And the Bible says that you and I are blessed because of him. It's because of what he has achieved that you and I are blessed. So I want you to understand something really important tonight as we work through recovery together. All the good that God has in store for us is ultimately because of Jesus. If you're here tonight, that's really good news. If you're here tonight as a Christian, it means there's nothing you can do to lose that. Why? Because you didn't earn it in the first place. Jesus did. If you're not here tonight and you're not a Christian, here's the tough news for you. There's nothing you can do to gain it. It only can be earned by Jesus. Will you trust in him? I have four daughters that I mentioned to you before, and three sons-in-law, six grandkids. Rumor is that seventh is on the way, but I can't tell you that publicly yet. One of my son-in-laws is a professional baseball player. As a matter of fact, I want to show you a picture of him because it's a really compromising picture. Do we have that? Okay, this was yesterday. I just finished watching the Cowboy game. The Baltimore Orioles, which my son-in-law plays for, that's him in the picture right there, had just clinched the playoffs. And I look on TV, replaying the game, and like, bro, you are heisting a bottle of champagne from the celebration. Like, what's that about? That's probably not the best picture to show at Regen, but that's my son-in-law. I love him dearly. He loves Jesus. He was just taking a souvenir away for him and his wife. Because he's a professional baseball player, in whatever game he's playing, if I were to ask him, he could get me a field pass for free. Basically, I show up and I give them my name, and he's got a field pass set aside, which means I get to go down the baseball field and hang out with baseball players while they take batting practice and throw the ball around. Now, here's what you need to know about me. I didn't earn that opportunity. My very best baseball culminated as a second stringer on the JV team in high school. That's as good as I could do. So when I go on the field with the real pros, I haven't deserved that space. I haven't earned it. There was nothing I did to achieve it, but my son-in-law Danny did. And he, out of his kindness, gives me his position on the field as a free gift, and I simply receive it by acting upon it. So it is with Jesus. This identity that you and I have ultimately is earned by Jesus. Do you realize that tonight? Here's the second thing I want you to see. Not only does blessing have a person in Jesus, there's a place of blessing. We've been blessed with every spiritual blessing, and that place is in the heavenlies. What does that mean? You and I tend to think of that spatially. I don't want you to think of the heavenlies in a spatially way. We're not talking about outer space. We're talking about a spiritual dimension. We're talking about that place from which Jesus reigns from. We're talking about a place that is higher and better and more secure than everything that is good that you and I can have on the earth. I don't want you to dismiss what it means when it says that we have every spiritual blessing, because you and I oftentimes are so fixated on what's going on around us, we mistake material blessings for spiritual blessings, and yet the real gift of God, the greatest gift of God, is spiritual blessing. Make no mistake, there are Christians all over the face of the earth today who are impoverished, who are diseased, who are hurting, who aren't going to survive cancer, who are going to experience persecution. Materially, things aren't always going to go well for them or for us. But according to this text, we have every spiritual blessing available to us, and it resides in the heavenly places, so it can't be touched. It can't be taken away from us. It's higher. It's better than anything else. It's secure. Now, here's what's important in this text, and if we had time in the text, it's going to follow. The source of every spiritual blessing is none other than God the Holy Spirit. Here's the beautiful truth about what it means to follow Jesus. When you and I place our faith in Jesus, God the Holy Spirit makes his home in us. Isn't that incredible to think about? God the Holy Spirit doesn't dwell in temples made by human hands, and he's not just hanging out in panoramic vistas. He indwells in those of us who've placed our faith in Jesus. God lives in us, God the Holy Spirit. Here's the second thing I want you to see tonight. Our identity is enriched by the Holy Spirit. What does it mean when you and I have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places? It means that God dwells within us through the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit makes available to you and I every moment of every day all that Jesus has achieved for us. It's incredible. I hope you understand the weight and the significance of what this text is teaching us. It means that you and I are connected with Jesus. We're united with Christ. We're indwelt by the Holy Spirit. And all that God wants to give us in Jesus, the Holy Spirit delivers and implies to our lives. A friend of mine recently asked me if I play golf, and I said, I haven't played in probably 20 years. He said, do you ever plan to take it up again? I said, I don't think so. He said, did you like it? And I said, it was okay. And he said, why did you ever play golf? And I told him, because my dad played golf. I didn't really enjoy golf a whole lot. It was hard. Anybody else find golf hard? It's frustrating. The harder I try, the worse I play. There were a few times where I thought, that was fun, that was cool. I've never laughed so hard in my life as I've laughed on a golf course, especially playing with my dad. But I think what happened and what was going on is I enjoyed golf for the season because my dad played with me. For me, golf was nothing more than getting to spend 3, 4, sometimes 5, 6 hours with my dad. And I enjoyed golf because I enjoyed being with my dad. Isn't that like life? Do you realize tonight how hard life is? I bet you do. I don't think you would be here otherwise. Life is hard. Life is painful. Life is broken. It's difficult. Oh yeah, there's a few happy things that happen here and there, but overall it's difficult. You and I enjoy life. Why, as followers of Jesus? Because God is with us. Because life is a context in which we can enjoy the presence of God, the Holy Spirit. All right, let's put this together. We have this identity, and it's formed in Christ. Jesus is the one that earned our identity. The Holy Spirit is the one who enriches it. So what does this mean for recovery? Here's the last thing I want you to think about, and we'll wrap up. So what does this practically mean for us? Here's what it means. We praise God as he has provided us with all we need to overcome sin and endure suffering. I want to give you hope tonight. If you're here as a follower of Jesus, you have everything you need in Jesus to overcome sin and endure the suffering in your life. God has ultimately given us himself. He indwells with us in the person of the Holy Spirit. All that we need to be right with God has been achieved by Jesus. Do you realize what a big deal that is tonight? If you're here tonight as a follower of Jesus, and life isn't going the way you want it to be. Sin, you're struggling with sin to the point you're not experiencing progressive growth, and the suffering you're experiencing feels overwhelming to the point you want to give up. I want to encourage you to hang on. Why? Because God has provided all you need in Jesus. He's given us everything we need that we might overcome sin and endure suffering. If you're a Christian tonight, you don't have a resource problem. If anything, you have a relationship problem. And the way that you and I experience all that God wants us to have is by trusting and treasuring Jesus. I've got a weird story in that my very worst day of my life was also my very best day. Let me see if I can explain. I grew up in a solid home, but my parents didn't know Jesus. My grandma was really the spiritual matriarch of our family. And as I got to know her, I learned more about her faith. And as I came to faith, I asked her a lot of questions. And I always said, Grandma, what's the most difficult thing anybody could ever endure in life? What's the worst thing in your mind that anybody could experience? She said, the worst thing ever would be burying one of your children. I said, wow, that's a big deal. Flash forward a few years, my wife and I, between our first and second daughters, had a son. He only lived for 2 months and 4 days in Children's Hospital here in Dallas. And I'll never forget the day that we buried him in a little coffin and put him in the ground. In many ways, it was the darkest day of my life. But in an unexpected way, it was the best day of my life. Here's why. God, the Holy Spirit, ministered to me in such a profound way that day. It was as if he carried me through the entire day. He got me through that day, and he was close, and I could sense his presence, and he was kind, and even kind enough through the Bible to give me a glimpse of what was in front of us all, and that is there will be a day when we're reunited with those that have gone before us in Jesus. We'll be with Jesus. There'll be no more sin. There'll be no more death forever. So in a very strange way, my very worst day was also my best day. I don't ever want to go back there again. but I haven't experienced closeness to God like I did in that day. Why is that? It's because you and I are blessed. We're blessed because of the person of Jesus Christ. All the blessing you and I experience, he earned. And our lives are enriched by God who's with us. The Holy Spirit is with us. Jesus promised he'll never leave us or forsake us. We're not alone. How are you tonight? Oh, if you're here tonight and you're a Christian and you're struggling with sin or you're struggling to endure suffering, I want to encourage you to turn to Jesus and trust him. All that he says is true. Lean in on him. And as you trust him relationally, he will resource you with all that you need to overcome sin and struggle in your life. If you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, you do have a resource problem. You don't have the things available to you that you need in order to overcome sin in your life. You're not going to endure suffering. Let me encourage you to do the same thing that we're going to do as Christians tonight. Would you turn away from being independent to God? Would you turn in? Would you trust Jesus for the first time tonight? I want to give you hope wherever you're coming from tonight. God has provided us with all we need to overcome sin and endure suffering. That's the identity we have when we say we are blessed. I want to invite someone up here tonight who's going to share his story with you on how he's learned to trust Jesus. Jesse, would you come up tonight and share your story with us? Join me in welcoming Jesse.